Give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the Rare is Fundamental Podcast, episode 45. Up, up, down, down, left, right, BA select. No one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. And everybody wants to be down with the dude on top of the stairs. Top of the stairs. Cause no one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. And everybody wants to be down with the dude on top of the stairs. Top of the stairs. Little brother, look around. Can't you see? What's up, internet? This is the Ray is Fundamental Podcast. Episode 45, recorded on March 2nd, 2016, brought to you by the Happy Hour Network and RayRay.net. I'm your sexy party host, RayRay. And as you guys know, I am an NBA online writer slash blogger for thenolookpass.com, so there's going to be a lot of NBA talk in this podcast. But really, this podcast is about whatever I want, whatever interests me, whatever is hot on the streets, whatever is being made fun of on the streets, and that's what we usually talk about. In this episode, we're just going to go on an hour-long rant about Stephen Curry because he just breaks basketball. Adam Jacoby joins me as usual. There are no other guests. But before we go on this little Stephen Curry talk, we just want to remind you that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, find this podcast on Stitcher as well, and download it on RayRay.net, and it's also being syndicated on the Happy Hour Network. So, without further ado, let's not waste any more time. Here's me and Adam talking about Stephen Curry and dogs. Woof. Ray is Fundamental Podcast, episode 45. Ray here, joined by the usual Adam Jacoby, the greatest storyteller of all time. What's up?
Well, not a whole lot going on. Perusing the internet. Have you ever heard of that? Someone with email.
No, never. No, seriously, what's going on?
I don't have a whole lot going on.
Okay. Because as of late, and not that it's not a known thing that I love dogs, and you love dogs,
certainly.
And yeah, so people have also noticed that I don't ever really mention cats, and I know there's like an NBA cat watch there or whatever stuff like that. But there's kind of a reason why I don't follow cats or mention cats very much. I'm allergic to cats, like super allergic to cats. And
well, that's too bad.
Yeah, it's really awful. So I know you have a cat named Annie Smalls,
right?
So if I ever go over your place in Iowa, I really can't stay over your place because I'm probably gonna die,
right?
Because of Annie Smalls. So, but it reminded me of this story. So. At the time, I was dating this girl, and she was insisting we go over our friend's house, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, the first question I always ask, does she have cats? And I know my girlfriend at the time loved cats.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, yeah, but it's going to be okay. I'm like, no, it's not okay. No, we're not going to our friend's house. But she kept insisting, she finally won me over, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, we go over, and I'm like, okay, you probably should put that cat away when we got there. And, of course, she's just there petting the cat, whatever. And then, she would put the cat in front of my face, like, here, pet this, right? I'm like, no, get this thing away from me! I can't get near cats, whatever. And finally, like, an hour later, I was just, like, dying and wheezing and, like, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was forced to stay, I couldn't drive. And my girlfriend at the time couldn't drive on the freeway. So.
Like, she wasn't capable or she wasn't allowed?
She just wasn't capable of driving on the freeway.
Cause I didn't know, I feel like it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if California in particular issued like conditional driver's licenses. Like, okay, you can be on some of the streets, but you better not get on the 405 or whatever it's called.
Yeah, it's awful in the 405.
Yeah.
But, to finish the story, yeah, that's the reason why I don't ever mention cats because, you know, I would just die if a cat is in front of me. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I probably shouldn't, text you a picture of the hoodie I'm wearing right now because it is.
Well, I mean.
It's covered in cat dander.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's like capable of like, you know, my phone suddenly starts, you know, catching that cat dander and then, you know.
I don't know. Like, if it's even, like, 1% mental and all you do is see it, then you're probably going to have, like, a moderate reaction.
I can see cats fine. It's just that, you know, again, I can't get near them. And
fair. Fair is fair.
Yeah. I learned that I was allergic to cats when I was 12, when I had a skin test to see what I was allergic to, and cats was the main offender. And I didn't believe it at first until I went to my friend's place in high school, and he had 4 cats, and I petted them all. And
then you died.
And I died. So, yeah. So, no cats. And I know you love cats. I know you love dogs, too. So, but unfortunately, I can't get near cats.
That's fair. That, hey, more cats for me, right? No, that's
that's true, I guess. But because we've been talking about dogs lately, like, I want to give a shout-out to all the dogs and the dog pictures that I've seen over the past week. And I also feel bad because we didn't talk about our friend Justine. She has a pit bull named Baines.
Mm-hmm.
And we were supposed to give Baines a shout-out, like, weeks ago, but we never did. So,
I didn't know about this. I would not have let you, like, forget about giving a shout-out to Bainesy.
Yeah, well, I think she mentioned it in our Facebook, in my Facebook account, I just kind of forgot about it, yeah.
Shout out to Bainesy,
yeah. I still never met the pit bull, though, but
the Chicago dog himself.
Yeah, yep.
No kidding.
And, yep, and I also want to mention that Justine, you know, she's a cute little thing, 4'11", but, like, she arm wrestles now.
Yeah, so, yeah, no, she would probably beat me, and
yeah.
Because I have arms like, you know the Meet the Hoopers commercial?
Yes.
And you know how the Kevin Love teen has got a couple of push pins for arms? That's basically me.
Yeah, so I just called Justine a cute little thing, and now she's really going to kill me now. So
yeah, I wouldn't have recommended that personally.
Yeah, whoops, sorry Justine, but shout out to you anyway. And shout out to Scout, or I call him LaBarcus.
Yeah, shout out to LaBarcus, for real.
Yeah, man, that thing is handsome, seriously.
I would say top 10 basketball corgi, like NBA Twitter corgi, top 10.
Yeah, top 10. Definitely. So yeah, and shout out to Megan Julian, who is behind this first social media account, which we should have her at some point so we can talk Spurs basketball and corgis.
I guarantee you I would hijack it and talk about exclusively corgis.
I'm okay with that. I'm perfectly fine with that.
And we're talking about a team that has Boris Diaw, my favorite NBA player ever.
And you're going to hijack it with just talking about corgis. Mm-hmm. So, Megan, we'll have you soon. Shout out to Joanne, part of the Gal Pal Squad, who has her corgi, Roxy.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Roxy, for real.
Shout out to Roxy,
Roxy. Roxy was my first favorite corgi. I didn't know about the magic of corgis until I found out about Roxy. So
yeah, and she has her own Twitter account, Roxy does. Mm-hmm. Roxy Piston Fan. So,
Roxy's
a
good girl.
Yeah, so follow Roxy on Twitter, on Roxy Piston Fan. And shout out to my friend's fat corgi that you've been seeing in pictures. His name is Duke. So shout out to Duke
shout
as
out
well.
To Duke.
Yeah.
Little sausage monster.
Yep. So you want to shout out any corgis?
If I got started, we'd take 45 minutes. I don't think we have 45 minutes. But Peanut the Corgi is an exceptionally good account to follow on the Facebooks. And my favorite Twitter corgi that I don't know the owner of is Sneakers the Corgi.
I've seen them around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sneakers is good at the social media game. So shout out to Sneakers. Good dog.
Shout out to my other friend who has a corgi, Rebecca from Texas. She has a corgi named Waffles.
Uh-huh. Oh, you know Waffles' owner? Because I know about Waffles.
I don't know which Waffles corgi you're seeing, because, like, she's from It's an old friend of mine that she moved to Texas, and she has a corgi named Waffles, so I don't know.
So, is Waffles active on social media, or am I talking about a different
Instagram?
Yeah, sure, probably.
Oh, wow. So we probably know the same Waffles then.
That's awesome.
But shout out to Waffles anyway.
For real, shout out to Waffles. One of my favorite things about corgis is they're so ridiculous. You can name them whatever you want. It's just like the first thing that you see. That's what I'm going to name my corgi after. And it's a fantastic corgi name. Or just like a random food. Any food will do.
Exactly. Hey, I'm gonna call you Beef.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Beef Corgi.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good name already for a corgi.
Yeah. We know Waffles, obviously, and one of my favorite corgis, or at least the one behind my favorite photo stream of all time, is Pancake. Because Pancake is the corgi that went to Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
So, like, name it whatever you want. It should probably be one word, because you don't want to be like, come here, pulled pork. No. But Ham's a great corgi name.
Ham's a fantastic name, or steak, or...
Steak, absolutely.
Yeah.
I've seen Marbles, because why not?
Oh, that's... Yeah,
see?
Exactly.
Just name it whatever you want.
Yeah. Choco? No, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so shout out to all the dogs out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and shout out to my dog, Nala. She's a Lhasa Apso, so she's kind of like a relative to a Shih Tzu.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what she is.
She is absolutely one of the cutest dogs out there.
Yeah, and yes, she can see. I know people have asked me about, what if she can't see? No, she can see fine.
Yeah.
Because her hair's all over her eyes, basically, but... It's almost the summer. Well, not really the summer yet, but, like, it's going to get hot out here in California, so she's going to get a cut soon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so now that we've done our talking about dogs, what are we going to talk about now?
Can I shout out one more dog? Just one.
Yeah, sure. No
problem. A Great Dane out there who goes by the name of Dirk Nowitzki.
Fantastic.
See?
That's so great.
And now we've got a segue into the NBA.
This is Lana Berry from The Lana Berry Show with Lana Berry, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, and Adam Jacoby is a terrible person.
Who let the dogs out?
Well, the party was nice, the party was pumping.
Hey, yeah, V-I-O.
And everybody having a ball.
E-I-O.
Until the fellas start the name calling.
E-I-O.
And the girls respond to the call. I have a poor one shout out.
Who let the dogs out?
Hey, this is Matthew Mercer, voice of Abe, the Trapper from Evolve, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast.
Yeah, shout out to Dirk. No, that's fantastic. Warriors and Thunder, which I know they're playing tomorrow, and by the time you hear this, they're playing tonight, but... They did play last Saturday in the best game of the year so far.
Easily the best game of the year so far. And I am struggling to remember a regular season game that was as good as that one. You probably can't say greatest ever because the stakes of that individual game weren't all that high. You know, because it's a game in February. The stakes can't possibly be that high. But, you know, we're talking about two of the top four teams in the NBA, like, obviously number one versus, like, it's fair to call OKC the fourth best team in the NBA, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that,
So we've got that. Four of the top 10 players in the NBA, and then wherever you want to rank Draymond on top of that. which could be anywhere, because everyone's got different standards on that. But even aside from Draymond Green, who is an enigma for the top 10 players, and it's, you know, the number one team's on the road, and every game still counts in a big way for them, because, you know, they're chasing history and all. So, like, the stage is set for something awesome. The entire nation knows this game is coming. It's on ABC primetime. It is keeping people home on a Saturday night. Like, that's that's how hotly anticipated this game was.
It was wild because, like, I thought, okay, well, it's Saturday night, Warriors Thunder, I'm going to stay home and watch this game. And then the timeline was full of, like, all of basketball Twitter. It's like, oh, my God, they all stayed home.
Oh, yeah. Like, that was – it wasn't like – I'll admit a little something here. I don't really go out on Saturday nights. That's not my...
Neither do I.
Right, right. And so things sort of slow down on the social medias, because most people with Twitter accounts still go out on Saturday nights.
Yeah, believe it or not.
Yeah, but that ain't me. But, like, it was flowing like it was a playoff game, basically. And it's a regular season Saturday night, why are you still at home situation. But everyone was in for it.
Yeah. And I haven't been as active in social media in the last couple weeks or so, but that game made me come out of my shell. I was like, okay, I'm definitely live tweeting this one, you know? And I haven't been on Twitter the last few days, but I'm live tweeting tomorrow night. So, you know, I can't wait for Warriors Thunder the third game now coming up, right?
I think it's their third, yeah.
Yeah, so, but back to that game.
That game.
Oh my gosh. Like, did Stephen Curry break basketball?
I feel like that was, like, the peak Stephen Curry. Because, one, you know, all he did was tie the NBA record, set his own career high for three-pointers. So there was that. But he did it while overcoming an ankle injury, which was, like, his big thing. And, you know, it wasn't an aggravation of his old injuries, because his old injuries are done. Those, like, that's not a thing anymore. Yeah. But it was still, you know, Russell... Westbrook, I almost called him Russell Wilson. No. Russell Westbrook, quite unintentionally, but still quite forcefully, jumping straight onto his ankle, like the side of his ankle. And taking him out of the game. And at that point, Steph was having a pretty good game. Pretty good, you know, even by Steph standards.
Yeah.
like maybe if Golden State's nursing a 3-point lead, something, you know, we're in for 24 minutes of drama or whatever. But, you know, this, okay, we here's our formula for a dud.
Yeah.
And OKC, you know, they controlled the first half, and they looked like a team who, you know, wasn't going to have any qualms with facing Golden State in the playoffs. You know, like, this is, it almost looked like the formula for beating the Warriors.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the Thunder, like, if you ask someone, who's gonna win a title, and you say the Thunder, and I ask why, and you say Westbrook and Durant, I'm not gonna argue.
Right.
Because they're two of the top five players in the league, you can argue.
Right.
You know? So.
Yeah, for sure. And we've never seen them, or it's been a long time since we've seen them, with Westbrook, Durant, and Ibaka all healthy in the playoffs. And I think the last time that we saw them do that, they were taking, LeBron and the Heat to the finals, and I think that one went six games. And everyone's
They went five.
Oh, they went five, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they still had Harden at that point, and Harden turned in an all-time lemon of a playoff series. but that's how long ago it was. James Harden was still on the team. And so now that they look like they're all, like, getting back into form together, like, you're absolutely right. Like, that team could win the finals. They still might, and they were in control for almost 48 minutes.
Yeah, and then, you know, Curry just unleashed, you know? And it was just insane how he would pull up from 28 feet and drain it like it's nothing. And we've seen it so many times, but I still marvel, especially in a big game. And in a big moment where they're down by four or whatever, and then he just pulls up from 28 feet and just drains it. Like, what the heck?
Yeah.
You know? Are you kidding me?
He hit double-digit three-pointers in a game. And that is an absurdity. Just on its face, by itself. But the part about it being clutch, I think, doesn't even get enough credit, because as I recall, when there were 3 minutes left in regulation, I think he had 6 3-pointers.
I think so too.
And, you know, it looked like a pretty easy Oklahoma City win at that point. Because it was still a 9-point game with 3 or 4 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
And then Curry said, okay, well, it's going to be up to me to bring this team back. And that's exactly what he did. And, you know, like you said, these were not easy shots at all. It was,
yeah.
I've got this square foot of space, time for me to, you know, rise and hit it.
He's the game shark. Like, mm-hmm. I've said this multiple times on Twitter. He's the game shark. Like, you know, people say, you know, the cheat code, whatever, but he's a literal game shark.
Yeah. Okay, not really. Did you, so you saw the video that somebody made afterwards saying that you can't call Steph Curry a video game?
Yeah.
And like, this NBA 2K is unrealistic because they had,
yeah.
whoever was playing had Curry pulling up from where he was hitting during that game. And there were just bad misses and air balls and stuff like that. No, 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 no. Those are actually his shots.
yeah, it's like he pulls up for 40 feet, and those are regular shots to him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they should fix it. 2K should fix it to the point where it's like they're just regular three-pointers. It's like, oh, it'll bounce off the rim or whatever, mm-hmm. or go in and out when he's pulling from 40 feet. Like, it's just, oh, my gosh. Like, again, and even the Thunder knew when they pulled up from 40 feet. Like, they just had their hands on their heads, like, oh, my God, why did you let him pull up from there? You know?
The resigned shrug of Enes Kanter.
Yeah.
When it was panning over, because Robertson gave him, you know, a couple feet of space inside mm-hmm. of 40 feet. You know, he was mm-hmm. still backing up. And everyone was like, why would you do that? It's 40 feet from the basket! Like, I'm pretty sure that's behind the half-court line in high school.
Yeah, I mean, sure, like, you don't want Curry to pull up from, like, you know, a regular three-pointer. Mm-hmm. That's what he's trying to do, you know?
Right.
It's like, you know, you're trying to get your feet set for defense. It's like, okay, don't let him pull. Oh, my God, what's he doing? Like,
right.
He didn't even finish your thought yet. He's pulling up from 40 feet. And then, what, are you going to say the same thing when he's pulling up from, like, 47 feet from half court?
Right, right. and who's to, you know, who's to stop him from getting good at those, too?
I mean, yeah.
You would, there's clearly some diminishing returns because the shots get farther away and they're not worth more. But
yeah.
That's about it. Like, that's the only reason why there's no good reason for Curry to get good at those unless people start, like, bodying him up from 50 feet.
Yeah.
But the thing of it is, he is the most athletic player in the NBA, full stop. And so if you really want to body him up from 50 feet and in, he will wear you out quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And people forget that, too. It's like the guy has one of the best handles in the game today.
Mm-hmm.
So if you body him up, he gets the ball. He's just going to cross you up, and you're going to fall, and he's going to pull up from somewhere closer where he can hit a better shot.
Right, right. He doesn't have weaknesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, sure, he probably can't do a 360 dunk. Well, maybe he could too, but I don't know. But
well, he doesn't. You know, he doesn't do anything that he's not good at. We'll put
yeah.
it that way.
Yeah, but it's just absurd. Like, I'm not sure if we'll see someone like him anytime soon. I'm sure someone's going to try,
mm-hmm.
but the guy is just an assassin. Like, you could put a 13-inch TV on the other side of the court, and he will play duck hunt from the other side of the court.
Right,
and nail the ducks and nail the dog too.
You know? Right.
Like, he's that accurate, you know? I mean, what you gotta do is probably gouge his eyes out. You know, just so
pretty much. Catch.
And maybe he'll still make a three-pointer with, you know, a blindfold or something.
No,
I don't know.
He'll develop the, some sort of a sonar. You know,
yeah.
with a clicking, because blind people have done that, which astonishes me. But, like, they can see with sonar and echoes.
Man.
Yeah.
Like, just the feel of it, right? Like, just hearing or
yeah,
knowing
yeah.
Where you are, stuff like that.
They make sort of click noises and they can sense the echo back. Look for it on YouTube. It's amazing. So
why don't they do that for Curry? It's like, okay, fine. You have the new rule is that Curry has to play for blindfold now.
Right, right. Let's not permanently blind him, because that's where I draw the line. I think he should be able to walk off the floor with his eyeballs intact. But yeah, a blindfold, or at the very least, one eye closed, so he doesn't have the depth perception. Anything.
Yeah, give him like give him like an eye patch like that Wizards assistant coach, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. So
like
see, you can play, yeah, play one eye, maybe play one hand tied behind his back. I don't know.
You notice, though, that the, like, trying to legislate Curry's performance out of the NBA, like trying to figure out some sort of rule change, is basically a fruitless endeavor, because it's not like he's taking advantage of any rules that make it especially unfair for him. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not like,
yeah,
with Shaq, it was like, oh, well, he's a 7'2", 300-pound athletic freak, and he just, you know, he can ram into people at will, and apparently that doesn't get called, so maybe mm-hmm. we should start calling it. You know, like, there's something like that, but no, I like, moving the three-point line back isn't going to change it. Moving it forward isn't going to do you any good. It's not like he's exploiting a weakness in the rules. He's just really, really, really good at shooting.
Why can't we accept that? You know, I mean, mm-hmm. obviously we've accepted it, but like, why can't like the old timers accept that? It's like, I see guys like Oscar Robertson and, mm-hmm. you know, and they're just like, oh, he's not that impressive. Like, seriously? The guy's making baskets from 30 feet away, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Curtis Harris had something to say about that. Pro Hoops History on the Twitter.com.
Fantastic follow, by the
way. One of my favorite basketball follows mm-hmm. ever.
Yeah.
But I just brought up the quote here. Game-redefining players like Mikan, Russell, Chamberlain, Jordan, Bird, and Shaq arrive on the scene at fairly regular intervals because, quote, players are clever and creative and quickly find ways to subvert the established orthodoxy. Basketball doesn't stand still. I'd mm-hmm. say there's plenty of disrespect being thrown around because every generation of humanity is interested in defending its place in history. Which,
yeah.
Yep. Totally.
They always
right.
do.
Yeah. And,
they always do, yeah.
Like, Oscar Robertson was a paradigm-shifting player. You know, so was, you know, even Tommy Hinesone was around plenty of guys.
Right.
And so, you know, when these guys come up and either, you know, change the game of basketball themselves, or they're around guys who they personally witnessed change basketball, they're always going to cape for that and the way the sport was played at that point.
Yeah, and 20 years from now, you know, Curry's probably going to do the same thing. It's like, oh, you know, back in my day, you know,
right.
I did this.
But,
yeah.
You know, 20 years from now, we're going to have 7'5 dudes dunking from the three-point line.
Oh man, that's gonna be awesome!
Right, or you know, or something else ridiculous like that, or
yeah,
or, you know, we're gonna make the mistake of making half-court shots, five-pointers, and then we'll get, you know, guys who are able to can it from there from 60%. But you know,
yeah, here's the funny thing: it's like, so we get this because Curry's transcendent right now, in my opinion, mm-hmm. and now that we got that transcendent player that we've been wanting. Why are we so mad about it?
Yeah, well, I think it's because he makes it look too easy. When you think of Michael Jordan, in his heyday, he looked like the kind of guy who had worked so hard that he had come as close as you could get to perfecting the game of basketball as we knew it.
Mm-hmm.
And basketball as we knew it was sort of predicated on this very simple idea that shooting jump shots is difficult,
mm-hmm.
especially the farther out you go.
Yeah.
And so Curry doesn't look like, and this is just sort of the, you know, the layman's first impression, but, you know, to a casual fan, Curry doesn't look like he has mastered the game of basketball so much as just broken it, or, you know, sort of changed it. Because his game isn't predicated on the difficulty of making a jump shot. Like,
yeah.
His game is, oh, no, this is easy. I can do that. I can do that, too. You know,
yeah.
he's what, he's basically Rey from Star Wars Episode 7. Like, he's the Mary Sue. Like, no, that something has to be hard about this. You can't
and
make it all look so easy.
Yeah, it's just saying how he just pulls up from 28 feet or dribbles around three defenders, spins around, and makes a three-pointer. Like, it's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And in conventional basketball, it's an awful shot. Like, it really is. And, you know, people talk to me about this, like, that's not a bad shot. I'm like, yeah, it is. Like, why don't you try it? Why don't your kids try it? Or, you know, it's a difficult shot to put up from 25 feet. And, you know, we always tell our friends or kids or whatever, like, hey, when you do a fast break, don't go to the three-point line because you can't make that shot. You know, you're not Stephen Curry. You know, go for the easy two. Go for the layup. It's a higher percentage shot. Mm-hmm. And it is.
And the math backs it up. Like, unless you're hitting like 40% of your three-pointers, in which case, congratulations on your professional career. enjoy your millions of dollars. Yeah, unless that's the case, it is not a better option unless your team absolutely needs 3 points right there. It's not a better option to take that shot. You know, take the easily, you know, make it over 60% of the time two-pointer.
Yeah.
But with Curry, he's making them with such frightening regularity that it's not even worth it for him to take two-pointers. Like, he'll do it anyway if he feels like it. But I mean, it's nuts. It is like you said, it's like somebody's playing with a game shark. Like, everything is so warped for him compared to everybody else on the court. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not like he's been doing this. Well, I know it's been insane this year, but he's been doing this. This has been, like, what, his fourth year of doing this sort of thing, really?
Yeah, you know? Pretty much. And he just keeps getting better and better at it. Like, what has he added from last year to this year in terms of points per game? Like, 7 points more? Didn't he go from, 24 to 31 or you know,
pretty much?
Yeah. Or I should say more impressive shots, more frequently. And he's up to 46.8% from three-pointer.
Career best, by the way.
Yeah, because that's what he needed, was a career best. and he is now, you know, breaking the record for most three-pointers in a season.
And we still got 23 more games to go.
Yep. So each of the next 150 or so that he hits from here on out are all going to be record breakers.
I don't know, and also
he led the league in steals and free throw percentage last year. And I'm pretty sure he's leading in field goal percentage at the rim.
Which was his weakness, by the way, for a while, too.
And like, then,
yeah, we made fun of him for not making layups back then. But now, jeez, like, what else can't he do?
Yeah, you know? It's unreal. It's unbelievable.
And the funny thing is that we haven't even talked about how good the Warriors team is at 54-5.
They're also on pace to, you know, break the NBA's win record. All they have to do, it seems crazy to frame it like this, because this would be a great run for just about any other team in the NBA. But all they have to do at this point to match the Bulls is go, what, 19-3? Or 19-4?
19-4 to beat the record, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, winning 19 out of 23 games to finish the season, pretty darn good. Especially
Oh my god, it's insane, really. It's like, oh my god, what we're missing, we're going to the playoffs.
Yeah, but they've already got a spot locked up in the playoffs. They clinched in February, which, come on.
Yes. Yeah.
But that is below their pace. That's them slowing down. If you picked out a 23 game stretch of the season, any 23 game stretch, and they lost more than 4 games in it, you'd be like, yeah, well, things sort of slowed down at that point. That's the standard they're setting. So it's unlike anything we've ever seen.
So here's the funny thing. Like, in most years, it's like if you win 60 games, like, oh my god, you're the best team in the league. 60 and 22. That's 22 losses, right? Well, the Warriors have lost only 20 games since the start of last season.
Good lord.
They are 121-20.
Oh, boy. That's good. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's good.
Oh, my gosh. That's just insane right there. Like, what can you say? You know? And Oh my! Even if they just tied the record at 72-10, like geez,
that'd be
like
fine.
this run 54-5 is just crazy. And what was they've only lost to basically like 500 teams, like not even you know the top teams. They lost to Milwaukee,
mm-hmm.
Denver, Dallas,
Portland,
Detroit, Portland.
Yeah,
those are their five losses.
Not, you know, not fantastic teams, and so. I think when you're trying to look for future losses, you don't say, oh, here's a tough opponent. You say, oh, here's a game where Golden State might sit somebody.
Yeah.
Because
basically, yeah.
Because when they have to prove themselves against top teams in the league, when they have to work the hardest for a win, they get it. They get that W.
Yeah.
The dub, if you will.
Mm. I think Curry has sat out three games, I think, but I think they only lost once without him. So.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they lost one game because they sat out Draymond Green.
Mm-hmm.
And the other was a schedule loss. I almost feel like they've only lost two legitimate games this year.
That's entirely possible.
Yeah.
They almost picked up a loss against Atlanta last night.
Yeah.
Had to go to overtime at home, but, you know, because Curry didn't play.
Neither did Iguodala, who, by the way, was not getting enough credit for tying the game against the Thunder last Saturday.
True, absolutely.
Yeah, two clutch free throws.
Yeah, we're
at 61%.
Yeah. So you do the math, and he's got less than a 37% chance to hit both of those. Assuming those are both 61% independent events, which... I don't know if that's the case. I don't know if anybody's done the math, whether situation matters or whether you make the first one has any bearing on your percentage for the second one, or, you know, if you miss the first one, if it has any bearing. I don't know. It might be the case. It might not. But anyway, let's assume they are. Yeah. Odds are about 1-3, a little better than 1-3 that Iguodala ties the game. And he buried them both. Like, no doubters.
Yeah, it was like nothing to him, as if he's a 90% free throw shooter, the way he acted out there, mm-hmm. So.
This is Rowan with BuzzFeed Sports, and you're listening to the Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast.
Go show, it's your birthday. We gon' party like it's your birthday. We gon' sip a party like it's your birthday. And you know we don't give up, it's your birthday. You party in the club, bottles full of bug. Mama, I got what you need if you need to give a ball. I'm gonna have a sex, I ain't gonna take it low. So come give me a hug, you get a being broke. When I pull up out front, you see the Benz on dub. When I roll 20 deep, so it's drama in the club. Now that I'm over train, everybody show me love. When you sell like them and them, you can bring me a groupie love. The homie ain't nothing changed, roll down, cheese up. I see exhibit in the cutting, man, roll the trees up. Brother, watch how I move, be safe before I play up hip. Been hit with a few shells, now I walk with a little room in the letter saying 50, you hot. They like me, I want them to love me like they love pop. But I lay in New York, shout to tell y'all I'm local. And the plan is to put the back game in the choke. So I'm fully focused, man. My money on my mind, got a meal, not the deals, and I'm still in the grind. I show these just filling my stash, filling my flow. My girls are willing to buy and they ready to go. Go on, yeah, bro. Bottle full of bug, mama, I got what you need. You need to feel a boss. I'm in the habit of sex, I ain't gonna make it love. So come give me a hug, begin to get rough. You can find me in the club. Bottle full of bug, mama, I got what you need. You need to feel a boss. I'm in the habit of sex, I ain't gonna make it love. So come give me a hug, begin to get rough. My flow, my show brought me the dope, that boy.
Let's talk about Kevin Durant a little bit.
Yeah, so what about Kevin Durant?
Well, he got a lot of flack for the end of the game situation. When he turned the ball over with mm-hmm. OKC up 2 points.
I thought that was really unusual for Kevin Durant to do that sort of thing.
I thought so too.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, you know, the clock's under 10 seconds at that point. They've got the lead, and he's throwing it away from OKC's basket. And it was not a good pass. It wasn't a good decision. And they had another timeout, which I think is the worst part of
it. Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, it took an incredible save by Draymond Green, and we'll talk about him in a little bit, too, just to keep mm-hmm. the ball alive for OKC, and then, or to keep it alive for Golden State. And then, you know, the Warriors sort of had to scramble, couldn't get the ball to Curry, who was getting a soft double team at that point. The pass, if they had tried to pass it to Curry, it probably would have gotten picked.
Yeah.
And, you know, it ended up with, you know, the ball in Iguodala's hands, and 6'11 Durant closing in hard on him.
Yeah.
I mean, that, even with the turnover, the odds that Golden State were going to tie the game were not great.
Yeah.
So between that and the fact that Durant, you know, canned what should have been an icing three-pointer with 15 seconds left, like, let's not forget that he almost put the game away himself.
let's also not forget that Durant fouled out 4 minutes left in overtime.
Yeah, that was rough.
Yeah.
It was sort of an iffy call.
Yeah, exactly.
And I at least appreciate the fact that immediately, I think it was Van Gundy, said, why do these guys not get an extra foul for OT? Because the game's going on longer.
Mm-hmm.
And Durant will tell you himself that was not a good way to end the game for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, he had a hell of a game.
Yeah, I mean, he's back to where he was 2 years ago when he won the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting overshadowed because, well, at this point, Stephen Curry is overshadowing everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even LeBron was having a great year, really. But, again, everyone's being overshadowed by Curry and the Warriors.
Yeah. And, you know, I get the sense that Durant is probably on some level fine with that. You know, because he's not a spotlight hog in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And two, you know, Oklahoma City's having a great year by mortal standards. You know? They're winning about 70% of their games. I just pulled it up. Yeah, Durant had a 37-12-5. And went 7-for-11 from three-pointer in that game.
Jeez.
Right. Anybody else in the league is going to say, yeah, I just had a career night. But Curry says, oh.
I'll make 12 three-pointers and score 46 points and make the game winner.
Right, right. Oh, and by the way, one of the greatest game winners of all time.
Yeah.
We haven't mentioned that.
Yeah.
But,
jeez.
Oh, my God.
I know.
They got the double bang from Mike Breen. Or is it Dave Breen or Mike Breen?
It's Mike Breen.
Mike Breen, yeah.
Yeah, I called it
Pash. Yeah.
I called it an orgasmic bang by Mike Breen.
Bang!
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's funny because you said that Oklahoma City has an excellent record by mortal standards. What about the Spurs, who are on pace for about 69-70 wins right now by themselves?
Right. Yeah, they're sort of... I don't know how you get on pace for a nice win total like that and manage to stay completely under the radar, but they're completely under the radar. Nobody's talking about the Spurs this season. Nobody's doing it.
Yeah.
They're only, what, 4 games behind the Warriors in their historic pace?
Yeah. And in any other year, the Spurs are on a historic pace, right?
Mm-hmm.
In any other year. But no, this is the Warriors' year. 2016, where they'll just overshadow everybody, including a record-setting Spurs team.
Yeah, you know, when I mentioned that Durant is sort of spotlight-averse, he looks like Liberace compared to Greg Popovich.
Right.
Who would prefer that nobody ever mention the Spurs until they're locking up the championship.
Yeah, exactly. I think the most attention they received was probably when they won the championship in 2014.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know? Because, like, oh my god, they're actually playing really, really pretty basketball by passing the ball around and stuff like that, and that got the attention of everybody. But for the most part, they were still invincible, and we still thought the Miami Heat were going to win the title.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But no, they just killed the Heat.
Shout out to Boris Diaw for orchestrating that whole thing. Oh, yeah, you remember the, okay, so the Sporkle test that was going around about a week ago, name every single starter from every title winning team. I tied my man Dan Devine at 232, which I was pretty proud of, out of 300.
Yeah, here's a funny thing. I had 4 minutes left when I accidentally clicked exit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wait a second, no! I had 224 at that point,
mm-hmm.
and I was, but I don't think I was going to get much higher than that anyway.
Yeah, I think I spent about the last 4 minutes just randomly guessing names, and I think I got about two. But I missed Boris Diaw. I didn't remember that
he... Oh!
I didn't remember! Like, I would have bet you anything that he was, you know, the second guy off the bench.
Oh, man. Yeah, Boris Diaw, man.
Shut up.
He had... Shout out to Boris Dia, who, by the way, had probably my favorite play in the playoffs in 2014. Do you remember when I believe it was Ginobili who passed to Patty Mills, then passed it to Cunnington Duncan, who touched pass it to Boris Dia for an open three against the Thunder?
Yes.
Yeah, that's my favorite play in the playoffs.
That was, I think, in retrospect, that's when we should have realized that every other team in the NBA was in serious, serious trouble.
That play was just insane and beautiful. Like, I never thought I would call up something beautiful and insane at the same time, but that's what it was to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, and of course, we've probably watched the beautiful game video like 1,000 times, you know, with the Spurs passing and everything. It's just, and they still do that to an extent. It's just that they do it longer now.
yeah. Now it takes 13 passes.
And yeah, instead of like 9, because they do more plays in the post now than ever. So, with LaMarcus Aldridge and David West on the team. They have LaMarcus Aldridge and David West on the team.
Yeah. They're like, hey, David West, come play for nothing. And he's like, sure, let's do it. I'm David West.
Yeah. Who? I mean, I know they're rich NBA players, but even on those standards, how can you give up $10 million to play for, you know, like, I don't know, like, $10 million is a lot of money to give up.
Yeah, and it's not like West is the kind of guy who was signing, you know, $100 million contracts. I mean, the man has only made $87 million during
his career. Yeah. And,
I mean, he only had 5 seasons of $10 million or more in his entire career.
Yeah.
Which, by NBA standards, you know, for a guy with multiple All-Star seasons, you know, it's not a super amount. And, you know, he left another one of those 8-digit seasons on the table, so he could take the league minimum from the Spurs for 2 years.
Wow. But, you know, whenever you play for the Spurs, it's like they're going to hypnotize you to take a minimum deal just so you can play for them.
Yeah, well, funny what happens when you need a ring. Or, I should say, when you haven't earned a ring yet and you're coming up on your 35th, 36th birthday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
let me amend my earlier statement to the veteran minimum. Not the league minimum, the veteran minimum.
Yeah.
There is a difference. Yeah. Shout out to Pedantry.
Yeah, so we've been talking about this for weeks about how this season has been pretty much a foregone conclusion. Like, is there any room for an upset here?
Oh, there's always room for an upset. Always. Mm-hmm. I think the NBA lends itself to upsets, like playoff upsets, like big ones against the league's best team, less than, say, the NFL or baseball, certainly. And I don't know how hockey is, because it's hockey. but I feel like the NBA playoffs are sort of designed to establish without a doubt who the best NBA team is. And, you know, at some point somebody's going to have to take 4 out of 7 from the Warriors. I am not super sure that there's anybody in the league who can do that. I don't think that Cleveland is anywhere near the personnel package that you would sort of need to hang with them for 7 games. Because they're too big. Cleveland's just too big, and their big men aren't versatile enough, but they have too many of them. So I don't think Cleveland's one of the teams who can get it done. And frankly, it was a miracle that they even got it to 6 games last year. The Spurs might be that team. They really, really might. But they're getting old too, and their big men are sort of, you know, lacking in versatility too. It's just that there aren't that many teams who can exploit that. But it just so happens that Golden State is one of them. But, you know, the Thunder are there. You know, that's a distinct possibility as well. And also, we're sort of operating under the assumption, and it's not entirely unearned, but we're operating under the assumption that everybody who matters for the Warriors is going to stay healthy. And that's not a foregone conclusion at all. Like, they were very lucky compared to the rest of the NBA last season that nobody suffered a serious injury. And yeah. they, you know, they just kept facing teams who had suffered at least one of them. Now, yeah. like I said, it's not entirely luck. Their training staff does a phenomenal job of monitoring these guys' fatigue levels and avoiding situations in which players often suffer injuries, which is when they're straining their bodies too hard, they're overworked, and these guys just don't get into those positions. So, I mean, it's brilliance on Golden State's trainer's part, absolutely, mm-hmm. flat out, and also one of the great victories of analytics. So, mm-hmm. stuff it, old white writings. But, you know, on top of that, you know, we still saw that, you know, if Russell Wilson jumps and lands on your ankle, there's only Russell so Wilson. Much that preventing fatigue is going to do for you. And yeah. Curry was sort of lucky that that didn't result in a broken bone. You know, yeah. you can't condition yourself to not break a bone if your bone gets hit hard enough. I mean, mm-hmm. you can drink your milk and eat your vitamins and this and that, but, you know, there's only so strong a bone can be. And there's only so much strain a certain muscle can get. So, you know, if Curry's out for extended minutes or extended games in the playoffs, Golden mm-hmm. State is totally beatable. Mm-hmm. If they're missing Clay, then, you know, when Curry doesn't have the second best long distance shooter in the NBA to throw to, you know, that changes their offense dramatically. If they don't yeah. have the versatility of Draymond Green in the middle, you know, distributing as well as he does, which is a totally difficult thing for other offenses to prepare for, you know, that changes the team as well. And so
yeah.
I think that they can absorb one injury, maybe even two injuries to their team outside of that big three. But if any one of those guys goes down, the whole system changes dramatically. And then we're not talking about Golden State, the obvious championship front runner anymore.
Mm-hmm. Draymond Green is not a robot, as he said.
Not a robot. But he did have one of the most insane box scores I've ever seen in that game.
Yes. Yeah.
2 points, 14 rebounds, 14 assists.
I don't think even Rondo's done that.
No. Nobody has gotten to 14 points and 14 boards and 14 assists with fewer than 6 points before. It's happened 29 times by 14 different players mm-hmm. getting to 14 rebounds and 14 assists in one game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the player who's done it with the fewest points in a game, 6, and the most points in a game, like 36, I want to say, 30-something, is the same player. And it's also the player who's gotten to 14 rebounds and 14 assists more than anybody in NBA history. Who would that player be?
I want to say Wilt.
No. They weren't recording assists for a lot of Wilt.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right. But I remember Wilt leading in total assists at one point. Mm-hmm. That's why.
Yeah, but in the middle of his career at that point.
I want to say Isaiah Thomas.
No, we are looking for Jason Kidd.
Ah,
Jason
makes
Kidd,
sense.
Who has done it
makes sense.
7 or 8 times, I want to say. But yeah,
that makes sense. Yeah, Jason Kidd.
Jason
yeah.
Kidd.
Who,
so,
by the way, you know, pretty much has like the same stats as like a Rajon Rondo would.
Mm-hmm.
So
basically, yeah, Rondo's on that list multiple times as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
To the surprise of nobody.
Yeah, so I saw this question. I believe it was the Twitter username Uncle Hemp. Yeah, anyway. But he had this question. Has there anyone that has had this unexpected era in sports, like a crown snatching, if you will, like Stephen Curry and the Warriors did? The one I can think of right now is the greatest show on turf, the Rams. Like, that's the one I can think of, because they came out of nowhere as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I can't... Basketball is tough to think about. Like,
yeah, it is. I like the Rams comparison, especially before Golden State has won a ton of rings, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, when the Rams, you know, burst onto the scene out of nowhere, one, you know, they were doing it with an Arena League QB. Shout out to Kurt Warner. Shout out to Cedar Falls, Iowa. but, you know, at the same time, you're like, whoa, like, is this a new paradigm of the sport? Like, okay, clearly here's our next decade of champions in front of us right here. But they ended up only getting one ring.
And the first year they were all together, and then they got upset by the Patriots, who I guess in a way was also unexpectedly made an era out of that too. So.
Yeah. And so, you know, right now we're thinking, okay, well, the Golden State Warriors are our new gods. And for all we know, you know, they've got a ton of, pardon me while I feed my cat.
Achoo!
Sorry for mentioning the word cat. I know that's gonna set you off. But you know, hey, they've got one ring at this point. And for all we know, you know, Clay's gonna mess up his knee. I hope that doesn't happen. Or, you know, they're gonna make an error by trying to pick up Durant and sort of messing up their chemistry and versatility and this and that. You know, not entirely dissimilar to what the Cavs gave up for Kevin Love.
Right.
So, you know, we might have another situation like that on our hands. And, you know, there maybe Ben Simmons just completely wrecks the NBA, or maybe Anthony Davis makes that next leap into, you know, the all-everything killer. I mean, I'm not really sure that if Anthony Davis is on a 35-point-per-game kick that there's anybody on Golden State who's especially equipped to stop that, especially if they get rid of Harrison Barnes so they can have Kevin Durant instead. So, yeah, I mean, there's really no telling where this goes from here. But in terms of just being an absolute supernova, yeah, I can't think of anything except the Rams as a corollary.
Maybe, what about baseball? You know more about baseball than I do.
I've been racking my brain on this the entire time. And, you know, teams don't really come out of nowhere in baseball. I mean, sometimes they do. You get, you know, sort of one-off winners. And maybe you want to say, like, the Cubs last year. But, you know, the Cubs didn't even make the World Series last year. And, you know, a lot of the time, the teams that do sort of, you know, get to that last level. And I'm thinking of like recent examples.
Maybe the Angels in 02, but they didn't make the playoffs the next year, right?
They didn't make the playoffs the next year. You know, the Marlins would get there with, you know, young players and then sell them off right before they could ask for any money. It's just a differently orchestrated sport, and there isn't really a good corollary.
So, I mean, now you got me thinking, like, maybe we should call the Warriors some sort of, like, greatest show on whatever sort of thing, like we do with the Rams, but...
Greatest show on court? Yeah, no, that doesn't work.
No, not really, but, yeah. Because we've been trying to crown the next guy, like, is it going to be Kevin Durant? Is it going to be Anthony Davis? But we never once mentioned Stephen Curry, you know.
Right.
And now he's angry and like, you know, just raining on all of us now or something.
Well, I hope he does it for as long as possible. I really do, because this is fun to watch.
It's
like nothing we've ever seen before. Like, can you imagine what it would be like to be like a 16-year-old basketball fan at this point? Where you sort of grow up and everyone's like, oh, Michael Jordan was the best of all time. Oh, you should have seen Magic Johnson. Or you should have seen the Showtime Lakers. Which are all valid things to tell to a kid. But, you know, and then you sort of come of age in, you know, the number 8 seed Warriors over the number 1 Mavericks. And you're like, oh, okay, that was cool. And, like, sometimes the best player you see is, you know, big giant Shaq, or maybe it's, you know, big beefy LeBron. And then this guy like Curry just comes out of nowhere. Doesn't look like your typical superhero NBA player. You know, he's not 6'9", he's not 7'1", he's not 300 pounds, but he's just bombing the lights out. And you're like, what is this? Why didn't you tell me someone like this could take over the league?
Yeah.
You know, it's like Ken Griffey Jr. when we were kids, where, well, you know, he's a super athletic, you know, super friendly dude. Like, he doesn't have giant muscles, but he's still bombing 50 home runs a year, and you're like, whoa!
Yeah.
This was not what you told me baseball was like.
Like I said, I'm not much of a baseball guy, but Ken Griffey has the prettiest swing ever. Yeah, it's like, picture perfect. You know? Like, if I watch baseball, it's like, oh, yeah. Ken Griffey's like the perfect baseball player right there, you know?
Yeah.
The way
like when Randy Moss burst onto the scene. Like, everyone's like, Jerry Rice is the best wide receiver of all time. Randy Moss was doing three things a game that Jerry Rice couldn't do if his life depended on it. So, like, that sort of just transcendently new type of player, Steph Curry is that guy. And so I want to watch a guy who can just murder everything that you throw at him for as long as possible.
Yeah. And again, like, his fire is just on the next level. Mm-hmm. It's as if we didn't see enough in the last 3 years, right? This one's just completely different.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because we were already marveling the last 3 years, like, oh my god, how did I make that three? How did I make that three? And now he's just doing it on a regular basis that we're taking it for granted.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. So, yeah, I'm out of things to say about Stephen Curry at this point. So,
yeah, I'm pretty much out of things to say as well, or at the very least as they relate to Stephen Curry.
Yeah. So,
but we should. That doesn't mean that I'm out of things to say completely, though.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure the next week, next episode, we're gonna have Brandon Stroud on. We're probably gonna talk a little bit of basketball as well as Final Fantasy as we had promised, but. You know, I'm sure we'll say more things about Stephen Curry in the weeks to come, and in a way, and of course, I want to see history happen. You know, like, I want to be there and see the 73-9 or 74-8 Warriors happen. I want to see that happen. I like seeing history happen in front of our eyes. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's really rare that you get to watch somebody who is the best in the world at what they do. Like, you get to see them with your own eyes. Like, for me, the only chance I get for anything like that is whenever I look in the mirror. And No other opportunities.
All right, so let's end this show. Follow us on Twitter, first of all. Follow me on the No Look Pass. And follow my site on thenolookpass.com. Adam, where are you?
I'm at Adam_Jacoby. It's like Jacob with an I at the end. And I'm also at blackheartgoldpants.com. My advice is this, as always. There's no need to be bugging. When it's a Ninja Turtle, you're hugging.
We are out of here.